It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Over the past few weeks, the southern U.S. has seen two major hurricanes that caused major destruction.
Officials in North Carolina announced yesterday that there are still at least 92 people unaccounted for in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, and relief efforts are ongoing in Florida to help survivors of Hurricane Milton.
But in the wake of those disasters, rumors and false claims about federal relief efforts started making the rounds online, and they're still circulating.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, has been the target of many of these false claims, and they have since launched a webpage specifically trying to correct misinformation in real time.
Mike Wagner is a professor in the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication and director of its Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. He studies the impact of misinformation and disinformation. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Now, it seems like as long as there have been natural disasters, urban legends, bad information has followed. It seems like things are a little different now. Very specific claims, false claims about what FEMA is and isn't doing in the aftermath of these hurricanes spread very quickly. What do you see out there? What do you have your eye on?
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of misinformation about what FEMA is doing in the hurricane zones, and it's spreading in ways that are a little bit different than they might have in years past. And part of that is because some social media platforms like X have really relaxed a lot of their content moderation policies and tend not to try and apply a tag to posts unless both liberals and conservatives are questioning it. And so in this particular case, a lot of the misinformation about the hurricane is coming from folks on the political right. And so it's not getting the scrutiny from X, which is a major platform that can spread information and even worse, misinformation. And most all of these have some kind of tie to the truth without being the truth. And so it's been reported, for example, that FEMA at the end of the hurricane season might have exhausted their budget to deal with these kinds of disasters. But the claim that's being circulated is FEMA's out of money. They're not out of money. They're spending the money they have allocated for the disaster. It's like if you had a $500 credit card bill that you had to pay by the end of the month, and you've got $700 in your checking account, you're not going to overspend. You're going to make sure you keep that $500 to spend the bill you have, but it doesn't mean you're out of money. It means that you're managing your budget appropriately, and that's what FEMA's doing. And the kinds of claims that kind of spread usually have a tie to the truth and then expand it into something that's not true.
And a lot of these claims are being spread by, you know, a guy. They are in some cases being promoted by the owner of X, Elon Musk, or
right.
a presidential candidate for Senate here in Wisconsin, promoting
right.
these things that in many cases have been debunked. Does that make it more challenging to get the right information to overtake the wrong information?
It makes it much more challenging because when political elites, when a former president or when a U.S. Senate candidate, in this case, we're talking about former President Trump and Senate candidate Eric Hovde, when they say things that are blatantly false and have those things shared hundreds of thousands or more times on different social media platforms, it does a few things. One, it shares information to all of their followers that they're very likely to believe, even though that information is false. And so now we have a whole host of people believing something that's not true. It also makes it harder for social media platforms to want to correct the information because they want to avoid regulations from politicians. And so if they're constantly correcting folks, especially from one side of the aisle, they're opening themselves up to get regulations that they don't want, which might make them a little gun shy about making those corrections of folks when they say things that are blatantly false, which is what's happening in this case.
Now, we do see FEMA trying to dispel these rumors. They've got a web page, taking them one at a time. It's called the Hurricane Rumor Response page. Have you seen anything like this in the past from a federal agency where they say, okay, we're going to try to take this misinformation head on?
There are examples of federal agencies trying to find different ways to combat misinformation. The Food and Drug Administration has done a lot of kind of pioneering work in this area because it's so important to have accurate information out about the safety of our food, the safety of our medications, the process that different medicines and other treatments go through before getting approved. And so there are federal agencies that have done this kind of thing. Standing it up in real time in response to misinformation that no one was really expecting is a little bit unique.
A challenge in a case like this is where to go with your debunking of misinformation, right? For a while, it seemed like Twitter, as it was once known, was a place where people went to try to find information about a breaking event. Now it's X, and I'm not sure if people are there. Do you go to Reddit? Do you go to the mainstream media? It seems like almost impossible to even know the venue to try to combat misinformation now, Mike.
It's a little harder, I think, to have the water cooler experience of finding and combating misinformation when Twitter was at its height before Mr. Musk took it over and undid a lot of the content moderation. It was a place where many people went. When Hurricane Sandy hit the Northeast several years ago, this was a place where lots of good information was shared quickly and widely and to great positive effect. Many people have left Twitter. Many people who use it don't use it to post and share things anymore in the way that they did. And so its value to be something that can help in the state of an emergency is a bit diminished. But there's really been nothing in social media that's taken its place. Blue Sky, Reddit, Threads, or Instagram are all different platforms that have different kinds of functionalities and uses. But nothing has really fully replaced the role that Twitter played a few years ago when there were different kinds of crises. And of course, you know, it's not like things were great. There was tons of misinformation that also were shared on Twitter during these times. But it was a place where lots of folks were going to try to share things that were accurate. Lots of journalists used to try to share and spread accurate information as well.
We're talking about misinformation circulating around FEMA in the wakes of Hurricanes Helene and Milton with Mike Wagner, Wisconsin researcher of misinformation and disinformation, professor of communications at UW-Madison. Mike, the real world impact here, and we have at least one case of a person being arrested, armed, speaking out about threats to FEMA employees. There were rumors circulating. Happily, those turned out to be false about maybe larger scale anti-FEMA efforts. When do we start to see these things happening in the online world bleeding over into the real world?
We do see examples of this kind of thing happening where misinformation spreads so far and wide that it starts to touch some individuals in ways that cause them to take dangerous action to rectify something that actually ends up being false. We saw this with a person showing up to a pizzeria in Washington, D.C., believing that Hillary Clinton was running a child trafficking ring out of the basement of the pizzeria, which of course was false, and this person showed up with a gun. You know, we see these kind of examples, and, you know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take very many people to all of a sudden put a whole host of folks in danger of violence. And so it's not like most people who see misinformation about FEMA are going to pick up a gun and go attack somebody who is trying to help people who are living with the consequences of a devastating hurricane. But if one person does it, that puts a whole lot of people in danger. And that's one of the real problems we see with the spread of misinformation is it not only misinforms a wide swath of us, it persuades a smaller number of us to be supportive of or even engage in violent acts trying to rectify something that doesn't need to be rectified because the claim they're trying to fix is one that's false.
I want to go to kind of an extreme claim, I think, Mike. The claim, including from Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican member of Congress, that I think her words were, they made this hurricane happen. The idea that somehow a hurricane was intentionally created. Now, humans, we don't know how to make a cloud at this point. We might be able to make an existing cloud rain a little bit. But this has had legs, and there are reports from meteorologists getting death threats for participating in or covering up this false claim that hurricanes are being made. You'd think this would go nowhere. I would think that. What do you make of something that extreme actually impacting the way people think?
Well, it's so provocative that it captures people's attention. So the first thing is that claims like that, really bizarre, dangerous, anti-democracy kinds of false claims like that, are also just so provocative that people share them. And as they start to get a life on social media, And when they're said by people we've elected to represent us, news organizations feel obligated to share what our elected officials are saying and doing. And even if it might, in some cases, be better for the democratic good, a small d democracy, to not amplify extremely dangerous and false claims, when our elected officials say something, that's newsworthy. And so it amplifies and gives more and more attention to those things. And when there ends up not really being a consequence, when the people who say that don't face sanctions from their colleagues, don't get voted out of office by their constituents, it's a signal to the people sharing things that aren't true that they can just keep on doing it.
In our last minute, Mike, your thoughts for the media in covering these false claims without inadvertently amplifying them?
I think a great strategy when the news organization feels like it has but no choice but to share what people are saying because of the news value of the people making the claims. I think a great strategy is the truth sandwich. Say the truth, then say the false claim, note again that it's false, and end with the truth. So that the false claim is sandwiched by the verifiably accurate information.
And very briefly, Mike, what are you watching for as we continue this hurricane recovery and combat misinformation?
I'm looking for consequences for people who say things that aren't true. I don't mean getting arrested by the government. Right. I mean that I'm looking for voters punishing people at the ballot box for spreading false rumors in a disaster when people need real help immediately.
Mike, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
That's Mike Wagner, professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison, director of its Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. We've been talking today about how to identify and combat misinformation, in this case about FEMA, as relief efforts continue in North Carolina and Florida after hurricanes Helene and Milton swept across the southeastern United States.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, a safety group in Green Bay has life-saving advice for parents on buying and using car seats for babies and kids, and a warning about fake products.
If you are shopping online, you are going to come across counterfeit car seats.
That's next here on WPR News.